We do serve an awesome God this morning. I was telling Diane on the way to church how this week I felt good. I felt, I don't know if the right word would be at ease, but part of it was early in the week I knew what I felt God wanted me to speak on. Early in the week, I was able to set time aside to study and to allow the thoughts to permeate my mind that I would feel that God would want me to share. And it felt like I really wasn't needed that much in the shop, in the office, at work. And I just rejoice in how God moves and how God gives us opportunity if we commit ourselves to Him. And so this morning I'm just really thankful for the way things work out. And I don't think it's just luck, but I think God moves and God orchestrates. And I have a confession to make this morning also, and that is I did not study my Sunday school lesson. I don't have a book yet. This morning was my first Sunday sitting in a Sunday school class for a year or two. I enjoyed it. But the Sunday school lesson, I had no idea where it was from, but it was in the Beatitudes. This morning, my message is on one of the Beatitudes. Are you a son? Are you a daughter? We'll let the ladies in on this too. I believe God would have you included too. All the Bible does say that the women shall be saved through childbearing, so there might be a little catch there. God wants each one of us as His sons and His daughters, and if we allow Him to work in and through us, we can be His sons and His daughters. This morning in Matthew 5, verse 9, it says, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the sons of God." Brother Amos in the Sunday school lesson said he would have titled the lesson "Temporal Values versus Eternal Values." That would have been his title for the lesson this morning in Sunday school. Temporal values versus eternal values. And I always like to look at, when I look at a subject, and you've heard me say this before, and that is to look at, when you look at a word and trying to figure out what it is, I like to look at it and see what it isn't. Because so often we can see more what it is by seeing what it isn't. And this morning, as we look at temporal values versus eternal values, looking at the word peacemakers, there's two words that I want to be focusing on this morning a lot. The one is peacemakers. The other one is peacekeepers. How many think there's a difference? How many are scared to say? There is a big difference between those two words, being a peacemaker or a peacekeeper. And that's going to be my question to you this morning. Are you a peacemaker or are you a peacekeeper? I'll clue you in. A peacemaker would have to do with eternal values. A peacekeeper, as I want to look at it this morning, would have to do with temporal values, as we're here on this earth. Last evening, about 5 o'clock, my neighbor, Ivan, called me. They're not here this morning. They took off for the weekend. He said, "Jerry, come up. I want you to look at something. I have something I want to show you." He took me out in his yard at the end of his house where it starts going down the hill. And he took a shovel and the ground was soft. And there's even about that big of a round glob of goo. Brown goo. And he was like, "Is there somebody buried here or what?" Well, we got to looking at it and investigating. Well, if we'd have been deciding whether we want to be a peacemaker or a peacekeeper in that situation. Because what we did, first of all, I'll tell you what we did. We started sticking the shovel around, and it was like, it's softer. We moved over here a little bit. Well, it wasn't soft over here. We moved up the hill a little bit. It was still soft. I said, well, let's dig. He started digging. Got down about this far. And all of a sudden, water is like, well, maybe there's a spring here. Well, it's been dry this whole summer and last summer. Surely there's not a spring all of a sudden spring. Well, maybe it's the downspout is clogged and it's leaking. Well, it hasn't rained in a couple weeks. Maybe it's your sprinkler system. Well, no, the sprinkler system. So we were eliminating all kinds of things that it could be. I said, well, let's move up. Let's go up closer to the house. We did. We dug down by the foundation, dug down about this far, and all of a sudden water started building up. Maybe it's under the slab. Well, so we dug another hole to the end of the house. Did the same thing. We went to the far other end of the house. It didn't do that. We moved in about 15 feet, dug, did it again. We were getting pools of water right by his foundation. What in the world is going on? Now we had to decide, what are you going to do with it? We could have decided we're just going to be peacekeepers and cover up the holes. And then outside here where the thing was so soft and mushy, it wasn't in the main area of his yard, and really the children weren't going to go down there and play in it that much. And we could have took that flat-bottom shovel that he had and took that glob of goo that had risen to the surface and scooped it off and threw it over into the woods. And then maybe even plant some a nice white fence sort of around it to decorate it out, but just tell the children not to play around there. Because if we pretend it's not there, then it's not a problem, right? But you know, anything we could have done to try to cover that up, maybe we should have went and got more dirt and put it on. Maybe we should put a drain in it and let it run out into the woods where it can drain. Then the ground would harden up. In my illustration this morning in talking about this, we would have been simply peacekeepers. The problem was still there. Somehow we were just kind of trying to ignore it, make it, and hope that it was going to go away, and that it wasn't going to be a big deal if we just pretend we don't see it. Well, another thing he did before they left yesterday afternoon, because we decided, well, let's turn some water off. And so he did, and I checked this morning. It's all dry. The holes are dry. There's no water standing in those holes anymore, except the one. There's still some ganged up. Now we could say, well, now we've solved the problem. It's not leaking anymore. But the one problem is when you go in to flush the toilet or run the sink water, you have no water. So the problem has went away, but it's still not fixed. Are you this morning a peacemaker or a peacekeeper? Another way to put it, in a different term, are you a peacemaker or are you a troublemaker? Are you one that strives to build peace, to make peace? Or are you one that thrives on digging underneath the surface and stirring the pot, as it were? The dictionary says that a peacemaker is one who makes peace, especially by reconciling parties that are at variance. And a peacekeeping, the definition of peacekeeping is the preserving of peace. And it says, especially international enforcement and supervision of a truce between hostile states or communities. When I think of a peacekeeper, I think of a guard that stands at the White House. I think of a guard that stands at the entrance of any building. And I think of them carrying a gun. They're not pointing it at you, but they're ready to point it at you if you start anything. I think of a peacekeeper as someone who's at a major event. They've got certain badges, they've got certain clothes on, and they're keeping the peace. Does that mean by those people being there that there's no problems? All of these people walking in don't have any problems. They don't have any issues with anger or any murderous thoughts or any evil intent in their heart. No. But we can kind of look at that. Well, we have the peacekeepers here, so there will be no problems. peacekeepers generally want to keep things subdued. They want to keep things just don't mess with it. Don't just leave it alone. A peacemaker is one who's willing to put himself out to make peace. Life, as you've heard me say before, is relationship. And this morning we want to look at our relationships at work, community, church, home. How do you relate in all these areas? How would someone describe you if someone would be asked, someone in the community would be asked to describe you? What would they say? If your next door neighbors would be asked to describe you as how you are at home when they see you interacting with your wife and your children, how would they describe you? And so on. What about at church? How would people describe you? What's the first thing that pops in someone's mind when your name is mentioned? That you're a peacekeeper, a peacemaker? Which one? Or even beyond that, a troublemaker. So what's the big deal about being a peacemaker? Well, number one, Scripture tells us that we'll be blessed if we're peacemakers. And then it says that we will be called the sons of God. And I believe this morning when Scripture says that we will be called the sons of God, I sort of have a hunch that's what it means. It's not just that we'll be called sons of God, but we will be sons of God. Because if we're really peacemakers, as Scripture would lead us to know, then there's other things that are going to take place in my life. There's other things that I'm going to put in place to make sure that I am truly a peacemaker. Well, what an honor it is to be called a son or a daughter of God. That's what we all strive for. And one of the reasons we strive to be a son or a daughter of God is so that, as we sang in the last song, that we can be together in heaven someday. Because if we're not, if God does not call us a son or a daughter of His, we're doomed. We are doomed for all eternity. Some of y'all probably heard this story before, but it's been probably 10, 11, 12 years ago. My dad had some friends over. They came from out of state to visit. And he had taken them into the shop area, and they were walking around and so on. I didn't know anybody was there, but for some reason I walked into the shop. They were in another area, but I could hear them talking. And they did not know I had come in. And all of a sudden I heard this talk, and I got quiet and I listened. And what do you think I heard? But my dad was talking about me. My dad was saying, "Well, now Jerry over here, he did this, and Jerry, what he did, and what Jerry does, and he kept on, Jerry this, and Jerry that, and I could hear the pride and the admiration in his voice, in this 70-year-old man, and I was like, he's talking about me. And I've never heard him say that before to me. And so I listened. Maybe I shouldn't, but I listened. Because that was really interesting. I mean, it was just, wow. What an honor for my dad to be speaking of me in those kind of terms. Now, I knew that my dad loved me. I knew that my dad thought highly of me. But to hear those words, I was like, he's talking about me. He was saying, in essence, that's my son I'm telling you about. This morning, that's what God is saying about us as we are walking and as we're living out our lives for Him. God is looking down and He's saying, that's my son. That's my girl. who of us in here, every one of us, are sons and daughters. And every one of us strive for relationship. We do. And who of us in here would be so bold as to say, or would want to lie, as to say, that don't mean anything to me if my dad or my mom would say something like that to me. Or that my mom, I don't care about hearing nothing about that. I'm my own man. There's not a one of us here. If you would say that it means nothing to you, either you're lying or you're not in your right mind. That's all there's to it. There's only two options. Who doesn't like hearing, that's my son? Another statement is, boy, you can tell whose boy he is. Now, is that statement good or bad? Huh? I want an answer. Okay, it depends on the dad. Someone else. That's my son. Or you can tell whose son he is. Is that a good or bad statement? It's an amoral statement. It's neither good or bad. In itself, it's just a statement. But when it's said to someone, it has a specific meaning. It can be positive or it can be negative based on the character traits of this dad that we know. Psalms 34, verses 11 through 14 says, "Come, my children, listen to me, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Whoever of you loves life and desires to see many good days, keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking lies." There, that verse right there, keep your lips from speaking lies. A peacekeeper is one, and I've heard this already, amongst Christian people, people who claim to be Christians, that they would say that there's times that we need to lie in order to protect the innocent or to protect the truth, as ironic as that would be. That would be somebody who is a peacekeeper. Because if I lie about it or deny something, it doesn't bring to light this issue, what's going on. And it keeps things calm. It keeps things from being disturbed. That's a peacekeeper. They might even go to the extent of telling the untruth in order to keep peace. That's wrong. Verse 14 says, "Turn from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it." And that same verse is also found in 1 Peter 3:11. It says, "He must keep from evil and do good. He must seek peace and pursue it." So this means if we're going to be peacekeepers, there's going to be some action and some effort required on my part. It's going to be a lot of work on my part. 2 Corinthians 13:11 says, "Finally, brothers, goodbye. Aim for perfection. Listen to my appeal. Be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you." He says to live in peace. When you live in peace, that means daily you're living out being a peacekeeper. I mean, a peacemaker, if I can get it right. It means it takes effort. And it means even that you're going to put yourself on the line sometimes in order to be a peacemaker. Galatians 5:22 says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, and faithfulness." Again, peace. It's one of the fruits. Fruit of the Spirit. And I don't believe if we don't have that fruit of the Spirit in our lives, that fruit of peace, we're going to have a tough sell trying to be a peacemaker. I don't think it's going to happen. Hebrews 12:14. "Make every effort to live in peace with all men and be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord." Peacemakers who sow in peace raise a harvest of righteousness. James 3, verse 18. peacemakers who sow in peace. What does it take when you think about somebody sowing? When you think of somebody putting seed in the ground, they don't go out to a field that's overgrown and red, hard dirt and that's never been worked for years. But first of all, there's a lot of effort that goes into this field before you get to the point to where you can put the seed in the ground. Peacemakers who sow in peace raise a harvest of righteousness. So it's saying here, it takes work to be that peacemaker. This thing, what we're talking about, peace, makes no sense to the world around us. Because being a peacemaker involves doing away with what I want for myself, but looking out for the good of my brothers and for my sisters. A peacemaker works for long-term peace and the goodwill of all. A peacemaker works tirelessly when faced with injustice. And wasn't Jesus the most perfect example of being a peacemaker? Did he cause havoc where he went? Yeah, he did. Even the Apostle Paul. Someone said that everywhere he went, he either caused a riot or a revival. What do you cause when you come out in the scene? What happens when you show up? A peacekeeper thinks a lot about how others will think of him. So if he sees injustice, he may turn away. Not because it does not upset him, but in speaking or acting otherwise might lead him to become unpopular. The peacekeeper has insecurities which will dictate him to keep quiet when intervention is necessary. See, a peacemaker will step in when he's led by the Spirit. There's a big difference between keeping peace and making peace. Peacemaking lays groundwork for authentic peace to rule. It takes work. Jesus, again, was a peacemaker. Just by the very fact of him allowing himself to be hung on a cross shows that he was the ultimate peacemaker. He did not run away from conflict, and he could have. Jesus could have done that, but he didn't. Peacemakers allow tensions to surface, even encourage tensions to be aired. Peacekeepers avoid conflict at any cost. Peacemakers invite necessary conflict because they know that there is no other pathway to increasing of understanding between warring parties and groups. So a peacemaker, they go and they work bringing together parties, two different opposing opinions, and making peace. Peacekeepers are often portrayed a deeply spiritual person because they can endure so much without saying anything. They're often seen as suffering. And it's looked at as being faithful as a Christian. They're peacekeepers and they're suffering because they're allowing God to work. But actually, all they're working is trying to cover up what's underneath. Rather than get to the bottom of things and to clean up the mess and to find out what's really going on and then to fix it. We all want to be called sons and daughters of God. And the Bible says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God, the sons of God, the daughters of God. Well, are we blessed when? Is it here or is it later? Well, it's here and it's later. When we are blessed for being peacemakers, There's times that it doesn't feel real good. We don't feel blessed. But yet, when we know that we're doing what God's calling us to do, what God is requiring of us to do, that's part of the blessing. And then, another part of the blessing is that we will be called the sons and the daughters of God. And then, when we're called the sons and the daughters of God, we can know that someday we have a home in heaven waiting for us. And in Hebrews, he talks about God, how he disciplines, how he chastens, how he corrects his son. And it's not fun. And each one of us, I think, knows what this is like to be chastened of God. Because every one of us, we need that. Every one of us, we stumble. There in Hebrews 12, verse 8, it says, if you are not disciplined, and everyone undergoes discipline, then you are illegitimate children, and you are not true sons. That's not what I want to be. I trust that's not what you want to be this morning. I'm going to ask Diane and Christy and Jeanette, they're going to come up and sing a song. It's called Sheltered in His Arms. And as they come up here and get ready to sing, I would like to put out the question to you this morning, several questions, and I want to give you all opportunity to respond as they're singing. First, are you a peacemaker or are you a peacekeeper? Where do you find yourself in life? You being a peacekeeper, are there things that you know are underneath the surface and you're not willing to let it rise and to come to the top and get it taken care of? This morning you can do that. You can come up to the altar and pray, and if you want someone to pray with you. Do you want to be called a son or a daughter of God? God wants relationship with each one of us. He desires it, to have that intense, deep relationship. If there's anyone, feel free to come forward as they sing this morning.
And my soul was disturbed with sorrow when my heart was burdened with sin. Jesus opened his arms of mercy, and he tenderly took me in. There is peace in the time of trouble. There is peace in the midst of the storm. There is peace though the world be raging, in the shelter storms that we all encounter. Do not fear, they will do you no harm. In the Lord you will find protection, in the shelter of his arms. There is peace in the time of trouble. There is peace in the midst of the storm. There is peace though the world be raging, in the shelter of his arms.
Thanks. What a place to be, in the shelter of his arms. peace as we know it, as true peace is, it's not the absence of turmoil. It's not the absence of struggle. But it's a calmness and it's a sureness in the midst of the storm, in the midst of whatever it is we're going through. Does anyone want to share anything yet before we close this morning? If not, shall we stand for prayer? Father, this morning, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the way that you move and how you want to move in each one of our lives. God, I pray that you would touch your Holy Spirit upon each one of us. Lord, that we would allow your Holy Spirit to fill us and to indwell us. As we leave from this place, as we face this next week, be honored and glorified through our lives. Lord, help us to put you first in everything that we do and in everything that we say. Dismiss us with your blessing. Guard our lives and keep us. In the name of Jesus, we do pray. Amen. Y'all are dismissed.